Welcome to fourthstream.com. Today we're talking about authentic faith, real, genuine, deep, and invitational faith.
Hey, you're looking good today. You spent a little extra time on your hair and dressing up and whatever. You know, on radio, we usually don't have to do that.
I know. Have you ever seen the poster that, you know, a face for theater, a face for movies, face for whatever, a face for radio? It's the same person dressed all differently.
And this is going to be hard because
from wonderful to worse.
I'll probably be distracted the entire time. We're talking today about authenticity. It's an interesting concept. I know there have been books written about it. But when I talk about authenticity, I'm not talking about old or old-fashioned. I'm talking about something that has substantive roots. Mm-hmm. So when I think about faith and what it means to have a solid core, I want to have an authentic core. Not that goes back into Christianity or church stuff. I want it to go back to the genuine article, which obviously Jesus.
Well, and lots of times when something's genuine, you're drawn to it because there's something, I don't know, I used the word invitational already, but there's something, you know, warm about it. Not always. But...
Well, and connectable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's how I feel when I talk about authentic. And we picked out a passage because there's a lot of different aspects to authenticity that we can discuss. But there's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 that I feel just, I don't know, goes back to the roots of finding that authentic picture. You know, when I was an artist, because that's my background, you know, when if you had a picture or a painting or whatever, and you wanted to make a copy of it, you did painstaking copies in order to get good ones. Mm-hmm. You slap them on a copy machine once they came out with copiers and whatever. Well, you know, the further you got away from the originals, the more degraded the piece was. And that's how I feel about authenticity. I want to get back and look and handle as much as I can the original so that I get an accurate representation of that authenticity.
So we're reading out of 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. And of course, I'm looking at it in the Message. What a God.
And I'm looking at it in the New American Standard, by the way.
What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now.
And I love that statement that's in there, and it's reflected the same way in my translation, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's not just something that is going to happen sometime in the future. It's something that is occurring right now.
Yeah, when I think of living hope, for me, it's the difference between working on a project really hard and just being 99% certain. You know, I hope this is all going to work out like we planned. And this kind of living hope is so 100% sure. And it's a for sure hope.
Well, and in my translation too, it talks a little bit about an inheritance, and it describes that inheritance as being imperishable, undefiled, which means it's not diluted, it's not non-authentic, and it will not fade away. And I love this, reserved in heaven for you.
Yeah, it's the kind of hope we need, I think, to live in our world today, which is getting more and more frustrated with Christians, often because they feel held back by us in some way.
Yeah.
And because of hurtful ways we treat them sometimes, and because of the reality that Christ was hated, so we will be. But I think it's why our faith needs to be grounded. It needs to be deep. It needs to be well understood so that we can love people, genuinely love people who aren't lovable, because those people push against us and everything we believe. And it's easy to insult them in the same way that we feel insulted. So they push without love. We need to push back. I think our pushback should be love.
Well,
and I just think it starts with one person at a time instead of trying to attack the whole, you know, politics or social movements or everything. It's just person.
And our environment is very relativistic. I was giving this some thought this week, how, you know, where's all the anger coming from? I mean, you see it on Facebook and you see it on the news, and it's because people are basically afraid. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of deep fear, and, you know, hope is the opposite of fear, because when your hope is fixed on something that is solid and won't fade away, well, that's authentic, and that is authentic faith. So we're not blown away or blown around every time something tough happens around us.
I like, too, how it says the future starts now. That's what it says in the Message. And, you know, but that doesn't mean we don't have tests along the way. It's interesting when you look at this whole book and the theme of this book is trust in trials.
Yes.
But it's about a lot of different kinds of hard times that we have. Like later in the book, it talks about bosses, you know, bosses that aren't very kind. It talks about marriage and how the struggles we have in marriage. So, you know, all that is a part of what's going on now. And I think about the paralyzed people that Jesus cured. And I think about the woman who hemorrhaged. And he doesn't just heal the pain or the physical. He heals deep into the heart. And I love that, to think that we're not just getting that in heaven. That can start. That's happening now. Our future is now until eternity.
And that's such a big, the roots of our faith are so huge when it comes to being authentic. I like this next verse. It's in 1:5 of 1 Peter. And back to the book of 1 Peter, I actually put in one of the links, if you want to check it out, there's a link to a study on 1 Peter that's just got a bunch of questions, because you were just describing authentic faith really comes about in trials. And that's mm-hmm. why the theme trust in trials is so significant when you look at the book of Peter, or this particular book of Peter. This is cool. Who are we, and it's talking reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And I love how this is in the message in verse 5.
Yes, God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. I guess I jumped ahead on what I was talking about, the future here. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. And that's what I was thinking about when I was thinking about the woman of 18 years,
yes.
that she was completely healed, but
wholeness.
You know, her future started then, and it just keeps going. I'm
yes.
sorry, I jumped ahead there.
No, not a problem, because this is woven together like in so many passages and so many concepts. I mean, we could literally talk about authentic faith, you know, ad infinitum, because there are so many things in the scriptures to talk about it. But for those listening today, it's important for you to take the time, just like it is for us, and think, okay, where am I at on my road to understanding authentic faith? And how authentic is my faith? Is it a religious faith? Is it a cultural faith? Or is it a faith based on solid, solid roots?
And if you want to see another cool verse, it's in chapter 4. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, this wraps together in 1:6. And why don't you go ahead and read it? Because this amplifies the trial idea that we mm-hmm. were just talking about.
I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime.
I like put up with every aggravation, because it's a hassle.
Yeah, I think of it as much more than an aggravation. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. And when Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory.
Now, what an image. And, you know, the Bible is filled with all of these word pictures. And, mm-hmm. and what a great word picture right there. It's your faith, not your gold, mm-hmm. that God will have on display as evidence, what, of your goodness, your greatness? No, of his
yeah.
victory. And we're a part of that.
Yeah, and just how coming through these aggravations show our faith to be real, just like gold, you know, heated up, is purified.
I was thinking about this the other day. It was in a conversation, and somebody was talking about the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints
yeah.
that's in the book of Revelation. And he was talking about the fact that those prayers are purified prayers. They're not just us sitting down here and going,
oh.
Do you see us down here? Oh, Lord. You know, it's more than that. It's the fact that God has, through trials, purified those prayers and made them offerings, incense offerings. You know, mm-hmm. what a cool picture that we're participating
we
in.
We just can't get away from the fact that suffering is curative. It just changes. It purifies us.
Yes. And, you know, it's the thing that everybody wants to explain away.
I want to avoid it.
Yep. Take to give blame, cast
yeah.
blame. But, you know, we've really been birthed into a suffering environment. And somehow that fits into the picture of a totally good God, that's one of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
I've got open boxes that
mm-hmm.
I need to have answered when I get
yep.
to heaven, or I'll want to have answered. And that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great summary here in talking about and searching for authentic faith. Let me read it in NASB, and then I'd like you to comment on it in your version. And though you have seen him, And though you have not seen him, you love him. And I think about Peter talking about this because you know, he was an eyewitness. He saw him. Yeah. So he's saying to these people that he's writing to, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible that is full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls.
Mm-hmm. In the Message, it says, you never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. I love that because I love how both translations, yours is a little more wordy, but this one just puts it down into
like me.
How is that how is that expressed?
Yeah. Well, and just the whole, what I like captures in the New American Standard is the idea of greatly rejoice, joy. And this phrase here, joy inexpressible and full of glory. Mm-hmm. See, what he's done there is he's looked at the root words that are in the original Greek language, and he said there is an inexpressible joy that's being described, but it's because it is full of the glory of God. And that's what suffering brings into life. It brought it into the Son of God's life. It brings it into our life. And it's what gives us an authentic faith.
But to end, the suffering is about hope. And one of the things I think about of getting to heaven, I feel like I'm going to be able to drop this cloak of humanness. The things, the envy I have, the struggles I have, the insecurities, and the fight will be over and I won't even need the armor anymore.
Yeah, think how weightless we're going
yeah.
to feel. Hey, thanks for listening today. Forestream.com is there for you day in, day out because... well, because we love you.